Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we're live. Next up, first up today, Subconscious Evolution with Elma Rivera, all the way from South Africa. She's a powerhouse warrior of light, kicking butt in the Department of Core Belief Changes in Psych K. Let's welcome her on to reintroduce herself and her show today. And what's up? Elma, welcome back.
Hi, Nicole. It's lovely to be back again. Hello, everybody listening. I would imagine that it's early morning there, so good morning and hope you're having a good day. My name is Elma and my surname is Rivera. I live in a beautiful part of the world called Cape Town, or the Cape, you know, the Cape environment. And I, amongst many other things, am a psyche instructor and a psyche facilitator. And yeah, in general, philosopher and holder of space and light. I would hope. I try my best.
And I'm
How
sure
are you,
your
Nicole?
Best is pretty good. Yeah, I'm hanging in there, hanging in. You know, every time we talk, I say this at the beginning, but geez, so much has happened.
Well, that is what it's all about. You know, this whole period that we are here, that we are living through, is all about a very fast moving way of getting ourselves, our butts off our chairs, literally, and to get ourselves to do deep introspection, to see where we are with ourselves and the world beyond the world. And, you know, I really think that the narrative about this period where we've been going, what we've been going through, should be changing. You know, we should be shifting our focus from all the scary stuff, because we hold on to that, and we should be talking about what are we learning, how are we growing, what is this opportunity, what are the opportunities that we have during this time. And if you know, if you're really going through hard times, guys, this is just a way to light up for you what you're holding on, what your subconscious beliefs are, what you maybe even consciously believe. And so the question today is, what are you feeding yourself? You know, I'd love to speak a little bit about that, Nicole, about our habits of eating, but literally also how we feed ourselves emotionally, spiritually, mentally, with what we engage with every day. So, you know, I think, I don't know, how have you been, Nicole?
Well, kind of sitting in the middle of a storm, is how I would describe it, and trying to maintain the vibration. Not always successfully, I have to admit.
Okay, and so you are in touch with a whole lot of listeners and people around you. What is the lay of the land? How are people feeling?
Well, the duality and the polarity is moment. Like, people are all over the place, and unexpectedly so. Like, in places that you would last expect it.
Could you repeat that? I didn't hear that.
In unexpected places as well, where you'd least expect it.
Mm-hmm. And sorry that I'm asking questions, but, you know, I'm trying to sort of get to the bottom of it. Why do you think this is all happening?
Well, I think just like how globally the shadow's coming up to clear, I think it's happening personally with everyone as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So imagine we have a challenge, every one of us have those. And imagine we shift our focus from, oh my word, this is so bad. There is so much duality. There is so much polarity. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so not in control of the situation. There are so many baddies out there attacking me, taking over my life. And I'm so scared, and I try and keep the light going. Okay, so that's one scenario. Then there's another scenario where we can literally take a step back and say, that's interesting. We can stay open and curious. So instead of getting sucked into the fear and the crazy, we can step back and say, what am I learning from this? How am I creating this? Because, you know, I want to come back a little bit to, I think I explained it a couple of months ago, and maybe we need to revisit that. And that is that, you know, quantum physics, we are all light waves and particles. In fact, I was listening to a podcast today of Dr. Zach Bush, and he was talking about that we are so much more space than matter that it's incredible. I think we are a 3% matter and 97% space, just literally in our bodies. In fact, if we take the whole of humanity, which is 7 billion people, and we take all the space out of everything, everything will fit into a cube of sugar.
Oh, my God.
That is how little matter there is. So what I want to come back to today also just very quickly is quantum physics tells us where we put our attention is what we create. When they observed, they did the double split theory research, and what they discovered was that particles only act in a certain way when they are observed with the intention that they are going to act in a certain way. Then they react that way. If particles are left unattended, they turn into light waves, and they do whatever. They flit about, and, you know, everything is fine. So when we put our attention on something, and I want to make this very clear, it's not just our conscious attention. It is also our subconscious. We don't know what's going on in the subconscious, but whatever is in there is giving 95% attention to whatever is happening to people. So I'm going to change what I've just said. Nothing happens to us. It feels like it happens to us. We create it. And what if we change the narrative and we change the way that things look and seem, and we begin to really embrace that whatever is happening on the outside of our lives is a direct reflection of what we believe on the interior. So I really need people to think about that a bit, because we have been programmed to blame. We have been programmed to tell people how wrong they are, and that everything that happens to us, we've been programmed to be victims. And what I think this whole time is now, it's an acceleration to understand we are not victims. We create whatever it is that is happening with us. So, you know, where do we put our attention? Where have our attention been? You know, what are you feeding yourself emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? Are people queuing to have their futures read? Are waiting for gurus to appear to save them? Are people devouring all the Facebook pages and the newspapers and everything and the off-the-grid newspapers about all the other horrible things that's going on with reptilians and dark state? And then people can also hold on to the normal news and really feed themselves the dialogue of COVID-19, the killer of all killers, how dangerous it is, how many people are dead, how many people this and that. Whereas actually, if we listen to level-headed scientists, it's just the flu, people.
Yep.
I'm not disrespectful of the people who've died and those people who've lost people. But it's still far less than any other year of people that we've been losing. I actually remember last time we spoke, I said that it doesn't matter whether it's a man-made virus or whether it's been designed to, you know, make us slaves and make us wear masks or whatever that is. It's up to us to choose to do with this as we please. And if we just keep our heads together and say, wait a minute, there are a couple of laws of nature. And the one of the laws of nature is the law of cause and effect. What we sow, we will reap. And that's not just in a literal sense, you know. It's not just our deeds. It's also what is our programming? What do we believe? How have we been spoon-fed that there's evil? We've been spoon-fed all of this stuff. And now, yeah, it's showing its head because we've been spending a lot of time trying to avoid it or being scared of it or whatever. So it's happening. But what if we just stay open and curious and go, okay, this is interesting. I've been saying to people that I have been coaching, you know, look at what is upsetting you. What is upsetting you during this time? And whatever that is, and for many people, it's completely different things. So if that is upsetting you, then it's something you are carrying within you, which is a belief system. So, Nicole, what is upsetting you today?
Why did I know that was the next question? Okay, so let's get really just in there, since we're getting in there. On some level, I get that. Observer effect, we've been talking about it for decades, but how do we see the reasoning and, you know, the approach, that's interesting, is a good approach to de-escalate the energy and pull our energy out. Mm-hmm. But things like we're seemingly out of our control, you know. So many things seem to be out of our control right now. So how do we get there with that and de-escalate that?
Okay, so the first thing is how did we get there is because we believe we are not in control.
Right.
Okay. So out of the 7 billion people, I bet you, about 99% of people believe they are not in control of their lives. And if you believe you're not in control of your life, no matter what happens, you're going to feel like you're not in control. You're living as if you're not in control. That is what you're feeding yourself. And that is what will manifest. You will look at this and you go, oh my God, I've been hacked. That's not right. Okay? I how could I have possibly caused that? If that is one of your biggest fears, where has your attention been? You know, where is our attention? I'm going to tell a little story that I told a while ago. Last year, I got this huge tax bill, and I couldn't understand what was going on because I'd been doing my taxes since 2013, and my bookkeeper says it's all okay and everything is fine. And I'm going, but why? What's going on? And I then sorted it out and discovered the guys, I've been paying them every year for all the taxes that they're supposed to be doing. I've been giving them all my paperwork, all the slips, everything. And every year they tell me, no, it's all okay. Signing off on it, all it's everything is fine. And I then discovered that they've just been taking my money and they haven't been doing my taxes.
So initially,
I'm angry, right? I'm a human being. And I gave myself about 15 minutes to rave and rant and just maybe kick a tire. And I then stopped and I said, but just hang on a minute. What do I believe about other people handling my money? And as clear as daylight, I remember my dad saying, never, ever trust anybody handling your money. So on a subconscious level, no matter what I did and no matter how diligent I've been, my attention has been on not trusting those people, no matter who, what they are. I would be attracting people that I can't trust. So if one's business relies on not being hacked, all right, where is your attention?
Hacked.
Exactly. Because, you know, again, the law of cause and effect is just straightforward. It's just a law of nature. It's the way the world has been made. And it's not about this one is good and this one is bad and you deserve this and you don't deserve that. You're a bad person, so this happens, whatever. That's not what it's about. It's like, where do you put your attention? Quanta, where you put your attention, that turns into particles. Done. It's literally that simple. So people can come to me with great pain, and people do come to me with great pain about abuse, about, you know, whatever there is. And I promise you, if we unpack it, there is a belief that there's abuse. In other words, mommies hit daddies or daddies hits mommies. Children get hurt. There is always a basic belief that makes that real, because even though we don't know it, our attention is on the negative and we're feeding that and we're creating it. You know, if we want to turn this whole world around, we've got to really take radical responsibility, truly radical responsibility. If we do not change where we are right now and take responsibility and change our behavior, we are going to go through the sixth extinction of humanity. That's the simple fact of it. So it looks too big and we go, oh, I can't do anything. Of course you can. Of course you can. You start doing the little small things that you can do. So what have you learned from being hacked? What did you learn? Nicole, what did you guys learn about that? Yeah.
Surface level or on the deeper level?
Well, whatever you want to talk about, my darling.
Well, on the surface level, it was that feeling not safe or feeling vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's not even surface level. That's very deep. So we don't have to go there. But if you say those words, you can just ask yourself, do I feel safe and do I feel vulnerable? Okay? And if that is where your attention lies without you even knowing it, you will be unsafe and vulnerable.
Well, here's the count 22 for me. I don't know if that's the right term for this. is that I thought I did feel safe until it happened.
Okay. So then there could be another belief, and that is right. Just when I feel safe. Just when I feel safe, the world proves to me I'm not. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So, we jumped in quite severely and quite deeply, somewhere, you know, immediately. My word. Okay. So, I don't want to depress people so early in the morning. So, I think what we need to do is ask people something. You know, actually, what I would love to do is I would like us to lighten up a bit. And first of all, let's decide to take radical responsibility. You know, let's play with that. Why don't we go out and dreaming what we want? I want to read you a song, and everybody knows the song. It is the song by the Beatles, and it's called Imagine. So imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. How would that be? Can our listeners, just for 10 seconds, take a deep breath and imagine living a life of peace? And then I'm going to say the chorus. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. You know, when I listened to Zach Bush this morning, he had a beautiful talk again. I don't know if you guys have been listening to him. Please, guys, if you can find, just Google Dr. Zach Bush. He will change your life. He has come the shining star of reason and how to pull our lives together and how to stop the sixth extinction of people, all through looking after nature. And, you know, in Psyche, which is where I reside most of the time in Psyche as a Psyche instructor and facilitator, we have a very big part of our world is aligning ourselves with the principles of nature. And last time I did start speaking about it, but then we ran out of time. And this Dr. Zach Bush is absolutely amazing. He's a triple degree medical person, but he also studied permaculture and farming and organic farming and the farming that, you know, the general farming that our food comes from. And so I was listening to him this morning, and he was so adamant that this resting time for Earth, this COVID-19 resting time. In fact, there are many little articles coming out of new species that they are discovering just because Earth has taken a breath. And she could only take a breath because we were forced to take a breath. And let's hear the wording, take a breath. What is the virus all about? It's about not being able to breathe. And if we look at what we've been doing to Earth, every single one of us, whether we get in our cars to drive forever to go and get the food that we want, whether we buy imported food that comes from Chile or wherever it is, what is our footprint? And it's carbon dioxide. That is what it is. And what is the virus's main message? It gets into the lungs because we can't breathe. So So what is the virus telling us? Let me breathe. Let us breathe. So how can we change that? What do you think? How can we change this? And shift our focus from all the bad stuff and move towards the good stuff, because then I know Quanta starts dancing beautiful dances, and it starts going into particles, and it starts creating the most beautiful life for us on Earth. So how can we focus our attention? What do you think? Where would you like to focus your attention? And I know you're in the middle of this whole other thing, but if you then had to take that, how can you shift your focus from that specific thing?
Oh, my God. You don't know. You don't want to know where my brain just went. Oh, I think I need to book a session with you immediately. Oh, my God. But as you're talking about the breathing, you know, the obvious connection or what may be obvious, which spurned the entire race riots going on, George Floyd's last words, "I can't breathe." Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my word. Yes. Yes. Okay, but see what's happened even with that, with no disrespect to that man. See what's happened. Turning against each other, people beginning to hate each other. All of that, the anger, the flaring up. What if he was a messenger of peace? What if he died to try and create some kind of a bridge so that we can observe what we do and then do better? Because when we know better, we do better. Has anybody stopped to say, how can we do better? Or has everybody just been in anger about what's been going on? Know what I'm saying?
I think there are a lot of people ask questions, but maybe not from a causal observer effect place.
Mm-hmm. Where are they asking that from?
Right, a lot of the peaceful movements are about that, and those are worldwide.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm talking everyday person on Earth. Everyday person in the street. When have we? Because you know what? It's easy to say there are movements. It's easy to say, but it's the big guys that's doing the making the changes and this and that. But it's not up to them. It's up to us. I'm always asking people, especially in South Africa, because this is a community, or this is a society that is beyond, if you don't live here, you cannot fathom it. But in my class, I always ask people, where do you put your attention? What are you talking about when you sit around the barbecue fire? What are you talking about when you're meeting your friends for tea? Are you talking about all the bad stuff that's going on and the disgrace and how terrible it is, mm-hmm. and the world going, you know, I nearly said a bad word, the world's getting completely buggered. Are we talking about that? Imagine 7 billion people on Earth putting their attention on the negative. What are you going to create?
Yeah.
We create, guys. We create. This is what we do. So the question for today is, how do we change that narrative? How do we reel ourselves in and say, just hang on a minute. If I get swept up with fear and anger and indignation and hate, I become that. How do we not become that? By shifting our focus. Shifting our focus to, can we see the message of that man that died? What was his message maybe? How can I honor him? I can't honor him by being angry and hateful. That's not honoring. That's not honoring lives. How do we honor lives? We shift our focus to the good stuff. And yeah, I know some people will say, but it's like the three monkeys, you know, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But that is a little bit like that. Because that is how we then get into more of a neutral space so that we give ourselves the space to breathe and then shift our focus to something better. When we make a decision to shift our focus from anything negative or bad to something good, and I've spoken about that, but it's quite a long time ago, four things happen in unison and within the same nanosecond. And the only thing we as humans need to do is to make one conscious decision, and that is to find the good. So even if you don't have to look at the situation and say what is good there. If you see something bad, just shift your focus. Look at the blue sky. Try and find a beautiful tree or a beautiful flower. If somebody drives in front of you and they nearly, you know, fender bender or near accident, instead of getting angry, going, thank heavens I'm alive. Whew, thank heavens I'm alive. Oh, my word, look how beautiful the sky is today. If it's raining and it's bad weather, wow, it's such amazing weather because it helps to feed the ground and the earth. It's just that. It's one thought. And one thought, with that one good thought, four things happen in unison in that nanosecond. And the first thing is, the minute you think a better thought, you change your perception. And in the nanothought that you change your perception, you flood your system with feel-good hormones. You flood 50 trillion cells of your body with feel-good hormones and chemicals. And in that moment, your reaction changes. And when your reaction changes, you create a new reality. So say one does get hacked and you have the initial fear of feeling unsafe, etc. If we play with this, Nicole, what would be a good positive thought to come from that?
Being aware of vulnerabilities that we can now fix.
There we go. There we go. Because you wouldn't have known about those vulnerabilities if you weren't hacked. Yeah? And at the end of the day, you got through it. So the other gift is that you can start looking deeper into why this was a created situation. So we learn. Okay? I want to read something from the Principles of Nature from science. And I'm going to read the different characteristics that we can adapt for ourselves on a daily basis. If we can learn to collaborate, not just ourselves and our bodies, but the cells in everybody's body, begins to learn to work together. If we as an individual can learn how we can collaborate and work with each other and focus on creating good, we will. We can stop the sixth extinction right here in its tracks when we start to collaborate with each other. If you are a group of friends and you get together for tea and you know that they sit there and bitch about the government and about how bad things are, how about you say to them, let's make an experiment. Let's talk only about good stuff. And you don't have to say to them, because then we're going to create it, because they might think you're a little bit crazy. But you can say, let's see how different we feel. Let's see how different we are with engulfing ourselves with collaboration. Get them to collaborate with you in speaking only good stuff or speaking with gentleness and kindness. As human beings and nature, have been given the opportunity to adapt robustly. Just now with you saying, Nicole, well, I've learned where the vulnerabilities were. In that moment, you adapted into a place where you're saying, okay, let's fix those. What are you doing? You're stepping out of victim into proactiveness, right? Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you're not a victim anymore. So adaptation creates a robust existence. Where instead of going to cower in a corner and go, oh my word, this is terrible, or I hate those people, look what they've done, etc., etc., it's rather, how do I change this? How do I change this? How do I change this so things are better? You know, and then when we look at diversity, because nature is as diverse as we can get, but guys, we're part of nature. So when we accept diversity, we'll get strength.
All right. She will dial back in momentarily, and we'll pick it up from there. All this happens at a pivotal moment of brilliance. Stand by. Elba will be back in.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news. So we all should rush to hear the good news. But we can just find the good news.
NSTN. NSTN. News for the Soul at its very best. NSTN.
NFTA. Okay, I think we've got Elma back. Elma, welcome back.
I don't know what happened. I think people are bored with my conversation today.
I was just saying it was at a pivotal, critical point. It always seems to happen right when someone's saying something really important.
It's okay. I've got it right here. So our diversity strengthens us. You know, so if we can focus on how strong we are within all our differences, it will remove the urgency to be right. Because we try and be right all the time simply because we believe we're not. You know what I'm saying? So if we can honor diversity, let the urgency to be right dissipate into the ether. And let's So, you know, we can just embrace the differences that we have and see how we can work together, right? And that is when we then move into harmony. So when we collaborate, when we adapt, and when we understand that diversity strengthens us, where does that lead us? To harmony. Harmony within ourselves, harmony within our work, harmony within our homes, harmony within our world, and we create that. And then the next law of the principles of nature is the law of cause and effect. And we've just spoken about that. You know, we sow, we reap what we sow. So if we keep on talking bad stuff, if we focus on our attention on bad stuff, that's what we're going to create, our whole world. That is what we feed ourselves. So we're feeding ourselves all of the stuff. I actually made a note. I'm going to read this. So, you know, we have everybody tuned into imagining a terrible future. We have no civil rights, where the virus is a hoax, where there's hoax, there's a dark state, and there's reptilians, and we're not safe, and. And then I made a big note. So who hasn't got indigestion yet? Because we're feeding ourselves. Whose stomach isn't already in a knot because of what we feed ourselves? You know, never mind the food we feed ourselves. But if we feed our spiritual and our emotional and our psychological and our mental bodies with all of this stuff, no, look at the world, and we created that. I feel a little bit like a preacher today.
That's okay. We need some preaching right now. So I've got to ask, I know you were trying to lighten it up, but you've mentioned a couple of times preventing the sixth extinction on the planet.
Yes.
I mean, expound upon that and why this is so important.
Okay, so look, Dr. Bruce Lipton has been talking about it forever. And for those of you who haven't read his work, his very famous book is the... Oh, my goodness, I've just forgotten the name. The Biology of Belief. The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. And then you can also start listening to Dr. Zach Bush. You can just Google him. He also speaks about it. And this sixth extinction is on planet Earth, we've gone through five extinctions already. And almost every single extinction has been part of the human or the people living here or whatever, not pulling their weight. So this sixth extinction, and apparently we are already 50% into it, is directly linked to our behavior as human beings. Completely and utterly. That's us. That's on us, nothing else. I opened my phone and there was this here. I'm going to read this. Why is glyphosate sprayed on crops right before harvest? Now, for you, those of you who don't know what glyphosate is, it's the main ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup herbicide. And it's recognized as the world's most widely used weed killer. I'm just talking one thing, guys. Never mind everything else that's going on. So glyphosate has come under increased scrutiny in the past year. Last year, the World Health Organization's Cancer Group, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, classified it as a probable carcinogen, okay? It is so bad for us that it causes for us to have leaky gut. It causes celiac disease. I want to ask people here, who is not allergic to wheat? Who has not got a food allergy? And I'll tell you why so many people have food allergies, because they spray the stuff 7 to 10 days before harvesting. Guess why? So that when they harvest, there's no weeds in between the seeds and the feed, so just to make life a little bit easier for the farmers.
Yes.
But what they don't understand is that it actually is killing us. That's what it's doing. It's killing not just us. That's why I keep on asking the whole time, what are we feeding ourselves? What are we feeding Mother Earth? In fact, Zach said this morning that we have destroyed across the globe 97% of the soil in order to grow stuff healthily. Think about that. Worldwide, he says the stuff that we're growing is not even used for feeding people. The stuff we're growing in that mass is done to make diesel or petrol fuel or, you know, all kinds of plastics and whatever, but it's not used to feed people. But then the little bit that is used to feed people, they spray with this poison, which is directly going into our bodies and our food. And we wonder why we're sick and why we're depressed and why we've got Lyme's disease and leaky gut and all of that stuff, okay? So what we're doing is we are literally and physically polluting and killing Mother Earth. Now, let's talk about something really great. In the last 3 months, what has happened to Mother Earth? Has anybody taken note? Do you know that within the first 7 to 10 days in Venice, The canals were completely clear in 7 to 10 days because there were no boats. Not just that, the dolphins came back into that ocean around Venice. The white swans came back. They hadn't been seen forever. Since COVID told us to shut up, stay at home, so that Mother Earth can recover, the greatest ozone hole in the, what is it, in the ozone, that hole has been healed. We've seen animals walking in the streets of various towns. They're finding new species of plants and little, I think there was a little seahorse that they've never seen before. They literally took the human being out of the equation. You can see the Himalayas from India for the first time ever. Think about that. But then here is the really good news. If we treat Mother Earth this well, and she can recover so robustly with such diversity, and I want you to hear the words because we've been using this, and we see how she collaborates well and to explode into beauty. Here's the deal. We are part of Mother Nature. We can also heal within a short period of time. If we feed ourselves stuff and our children that is healthy and not poisoned. So the good, so what we can do as human beings to stop the extinction is not to focus on the extinction, but to figure out what can we do. In fact, I'm bringing on a very good friend of mine called Karen Mackay next time. And she and I are going to be talking exactly about how we can become better so that what we do is better. So that's for next time. We're going to be talking all about that. But right now, in this moment in time where you and I and the listeners are all together, if you're driving your car to work or you're sitting having your breakfast or, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the time hours are around the Americas, you can just ask yourself the question, what can I do? I can tell you what you can do immediately. I mean, it's just miraculous what you can do. You can immediately start buying organic food. Immediately. Can I tell you something that is quite interesting that Dr. Zach said this morning? During March 2020, when the whole world was in lockdown, and the supply chain, the supply lines for food coming from Chile and Australia and wherever people are, you know, they're buying berries that's been produced in Chile, but they live in America and in South Africa. Yes, I know. Those supply chains stopped because ships weren't moving, trains weren't moving, flights weren't moving. Guess what happened to the organic farmers? Their businesses grew with 300%. And guess what else happened? People started eating healthy food, organic food. So if you want to know what you can do right now, find out where's your closest organic supplier. And you know, there are farms scattered all over the world. And it's not that far. See where is the closest one. Take a drive out once a week. Go and get your food. They might even be supplying into shops. You know, that's the first thing we can do. Buy food locally that's been grown organically. Okay? And you know what? You need a box that's about 1 meter wide, 1 by 1 meter, right? And you can feed yourself. I saw the most beautiful photograph of a lady here in Africa in a township where their space is absolutely not. And there's no soil or anything to grow things in. And she had these cheap plastic buckets, you know, these very cheap plastic buckets that you can buy for next to nothing. She had 6 or 10 of them. And she, all she did, she made sure that she had good soil, feeding her community from those buckets that's standing in her backyard. She's feeding them spinach and cabbage and carrots and kale and, you know, leeks. And she's feeding them. So if you're sitting there going, what can I do? This is what you can do. Personally, I've decided to move out of the city, and many people are doing that. I'm hearing loads of people are doing that. Let's make the whole conglomeration a little bit less condensed. I'm definitely, and I haven't started yet because I'm getting the whole process going, going to be growing my own food in 2 2-meter boxes, and I'll be able to feed myself year-round every time and all the time. So honestly, guys, you ask, what can I do? Start buying organic. Start when you buy your seeds, buy heritage seeds. And what does that mean? Heritage seeds means that it's not been genetically modified. Because what Monsanto does with the GMO seeds, they literally put pesticides within the seeds. All right. And nobody has done research to see what the effect of that is. So in other words, you're eating food that's already, so you're feeding yourself pesticides. So when you want to go and buy your seeds, you buy heritage seeds. And you must just look on the packets. It says it very clearly. And if you don't know, just ask the people who are selling the seeds. Just ask them. You know, you don't want GMO seeds. That's one thing. You, two things you can do. You know, and then people say, but I don't know how to do it. Oh, my word, we've got Google. You know, Google how to grow an organic garden. It's not that difficult. It's one trip to the nursery or to somebody or a farm where they've got really good, you know, soil and what is this beautiful black stuff that you mix in compost and all kinds of stuff. And you can buy them in bags and then make again sure that you buy organic compost. Get yourself sorted. You can Google. It's so easy. Be like this beautiful, innovative. I wish I could show you guys the picture of this beautiful, beautiful lady living in a shack, literally in a shack here in South Africa, in Africa, with her plastic buckets all around her growing the most beautiful food. The solutions are simple. You know what? You can even Google garden boxes. They are people who will literally plant it for you. You tell them what you like, they will plant it for you. They will bring it to you. All you need to do is water. So what I also learned this morning is, you know, we are made of some DNA that can be changed and other DNA that can't be changed. So what we learn, what we teach in Psyche is the changeable DNA is changed every time we rewire our beliefs. And what Dr. Zach Bush said this morning, the food we eat literally updates and changes our DNA. Mm. Imagine that. Imagine eating toxic food. What are we doing? We're literally poisoning our DNA strands, which are responsible for creating healthy. So if there's one thing that comes out of this is I hope it gets people get excited because it's 527. Let me challenge you. Next time we meet, let's hear from you guys. Let's hear who's gone to buy some boxes, who's in absolute awe of these beautiful little plants growing under your nurturing hands. And in 2 months' time, let's hear who's eating from those boxes. Just that will give you so much hope. You know, they found that the nutrients in the soil, when your hands are in the soil, is so good for you emotionally and spiritually, and it actually helps with depression. So honestly, guys, the hour is up. I feel a little bit like a preacher today, and if that is what I sounded, I apologize. But let's lighten up. Let's get active. Just go and exercise. Go and sit in the sun for a while. Just play your favorite music. Dance. Do something. This is Alma Rivera signing off from South Africa. And next time, I would love to hear from you guys. Let me know if you've gone and bought your food. I want to know how it tastes. Are you up for the challenge, Nicole?
I'm up.
Okay, and so next time we speak, we're going to be talking about your food box.
Oh, dear God. Okay. Duly noted. 1 month to get my poop together. All right. And, you know, observer effect and one good thought. And these are important points today. I love it. And love you, and looking forward to the next show already.
Okay. And Karen and I are going to talk about how you can become better and better and better and do better and better and better. And thank you for having me.
All right. Alma Rivera, all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Wow. I always say wow when she's on. We're back with the next show in a couple of minutes, right after this. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.